Armstrong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
You said you hated the ocean, but you said...
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. On today's program, you will hear reports from Katie Weaver and Brian Lynn. John Russell talks about hobbies and studies in a new Everyday Grammar report. We close the show with episode 1 of our series on U.S. national parks. But first, most of the world has been dealing with COVID-19 since early 2020. But North Korea only recently admitted it is dealing with a widespread local outbreak of the disease. On Thursday, North Korean health officials said over 2 million people have been sickened with a fast-spreading fever since late April. They also said 63 people have died. North Korea said it has quarantined over 740,000 people suspected of having the fever-causing illness. A fever, or high body temperature, is a common sign of COVID-19 infection. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un recently appeared in public with a protective face covering. During a visit to a drugstore, he said he regretted that officials were slow in getting medicine to people. Officials who work for Kim have urged people with mild symptoms to drink special kinds of tea made with willow leaf and honeysuckle. Observers say North Korea's poor, unvaccinated population is fearful of a rise in COVID-19 in their country. Kang Mi-jin is a North Korean defector. She told the Associated Press that she has talked with contacts in the North Korean city of Hyesan. North Koreans know so many people around the world have died because of COVID-19, so they have fear that some of them could die too, she said. Some have bought traditional medicine to deal with their worries.
North Korea's pandemic measures appear largely centered on quarantining suspected patients. The country lacks vaccines, antiviral pills, intensive care units, and other medical tools that can help save people's lives. State media said 1 million public workers went out to identify suspected patients. State media also has reported that the military has helped with getting medicines to the drugstores. State television aired infomercials advising people to see doctors if they have breathing problems, spit up blood, or pass out. They also explain what medicines patients can take, including homemade treatments such as honey tea. The country's main newspaper, Rodong Sinmun, advised people with mild symptoms to boil 4 to 5 grams of willow or honeysuckle leaves in hot water and drink that 3 times a day. Their guidelines don't make sense at all. It's like the government is asking people to contact doctors only if they have breathing difficulties, which means just before they die, said former North Korean agriculture official Cho Chung-hui, who fled to South Korea in 2011. My heart aches when I think about my brother and sister in North Korea and their suffering.
Since May 12th, North Korea has banned travel between areas of the country, but it has not attempted to put in place more severe lockdowns like neighboring China has done. North Korea's economy is struggling because of pandemic border closures, years of mismanagement, and international sanctions against the country because of its nuclear program. Because of the economic situation, the country's leaders have pressed for farming, building, and other industrial activities to continue. The Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights expressed worry this week that pandemic restrictions will hurt people in North Korea. Children, lactating mothers, older people, the homeless, and those living in more isolated rural and border areas are especially vulnerable, the office said in a statement. Defectors in South Korea say they worry about their loved ones back in North Korea. My father and sibling are still in North Korea, and I'm worrying about them a lot because they weren't inoculated, and there aren't many medicines there, said Kang Na-ra, who fled to South Korea in late 2014. She was recently told that her grandmother in the north died of pneumonia last September. Kang believes her grandmother's sickness was caused by COVID-19. Defector Choi Song-juk said she was not able to contact her sister in the north. I feel so sad. I must connect with her again because she must be without food and picking wild greens, said Choi, who left North Korea in 2015.
In recent years, North Korea has built some modern hospitals and improved its medical systems. But critics say they are mostly for the country's ruling class. Free medical service for the masses remains limited. Recent defectors say people do not trust drugs produced in North Korea because of quality issues. But foreign medications from South Korea, China, and Russia are costly. If you are sick in North Korea, we often say you will die, Choi said. So far, North Korea has not publicly answered offers of medical help from South Korea and the United States. Choi Jung Han is a former North Korean doctor who resettled in South Korea. He is now a researcher in Seoul. He suspects North Korea is underreporting the effects of COVID-19. One day, they'll say they've contained COVID-19, Choi said. By comparing its death toll with that of the U.S. and South Korea, they'll say they've done a really good job, and their anti-epidemic system is the world's best. I'm Katie Weaver.
A baby giraffe born with a leg abnormality has been fitted with special leg braces to help her walk. The giraffe is named Situni. She was born on February 1st at the San Diego Zoo Safari Park in California. She suffers from a condition called carpal hypertension. It affected the young animal's front legs, which became hyperextended. Situni weighed more than 55 kilograms at birth. The abnormality was putting a lot of pressure on her joints and bones. Zoo workers feared that she could die if they did not quickly correct the condition. This is because it could prevent the giraffe from getting food and from being able to walk around. Zoo officials called in experts to treat the giraffe. The experts were from the Hanger Clinic in Escondido, California. The medical team had a lot of experience fitting people with braces to correct leg problems. But the clinic had never treated an animal before. Era Mirzayan was a member of the medical team. He told the Associated Press that at first he found the situation surreal. Mirzayan added that he immediately went online to start learning as much as possible about giraffes. It is not completely unusual for zoos to seek help from medical professionals who are used to treating people. Earlier this year, a zoo in Tampa, Florida, partnered with experts to fit a great hornbill bird suffering from cancer with a new prosthetic beak. And in 2006, a Hanger Clinic team in Florida created a prosthetic for a dolphin that had lost its tail after getting stuck in ropes from a crab trap. That story was told in the 2011 movie Dolphin Tale. For Situni's braces to work, the devices needed to have a wide range of motion. They also needed to be strong and long-lasting. Hanger worked with a company that often makes braces for horses. The team created models of the giraffe's legs. It took the team about a week to produce the braces, which were made of a material called carbon graphite. In the end, Situni only needed one brace. The other leg corrected itself with the help of a temporary prosthetic device. While the giraffe was sleeping during the fitting operation, Mirzayan was moved by the animal's beauty. He said he had to give her a hug. It was just amazing seeing such a big, beautiful creature just laying there in front of me, he said. After 10 days in the special brace, the problem was corrected. In total, Situni was in braces for 39 days from the day she was born. She stayed in the animal hospital the whole time. Situni was then slowly introduced to her mother and the other giraffes. Her mother never took her back, but officials at the park said another female giraffe started looking out for Situni. They said that she was now able to run with the other giraffes. I'm Brian Lynn.
In a recent report, we asked readers and listeners from around the world to write us about their hobbies and studies. In this week's Everyday Grammar, we will share part of a message from Evgeny in Ukraine. Evgeny wrote about his school and his favorite hobby, chess. You will learn about how Americans describe schools and grades and how to talk about when you begin your hobbies. Here is part of Evgeny's message.
My name is Evgeny. I am studying in the 11th grade of the comprehensive school Pearl. I am a chess player. I have been playing this wonderful game since 9. I have won many city and region tournaments and also took part in a lot of national championships.
Let's start with the sentence about Evgeny's studies.
I am studying in the 11th grade of the comprehensive school Pearl.
we suggest removing the present progressive verb, studying. In general, Americans identify grade level in school with only the verb be. We also use the preposition at instead of when identifying a school. So, you might hear an American student say, "I am in the fourth grade at Park Hill," or "I am in the 10th grade at Western High School." Evgeny's sentence could be changed to something like this.
I am in the 11th grade at Pearl, a comprehensive school.
This form of the sentence might be a little clearer to a speaker of American English.
I am in the 11th grade.
The reason we made this point about American English is because Evgeny used the term comprehensive school, a kind of school that is generally not familiar to Americans. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a comprehensive school is a British term for a school for children of all different levels of ability who are over the age of 11. Now let's explore how Evgeny describes his hobby.
I am a chess player. I have been playing this wonderful game since 9. I have won many city and region tournaments and also took part in a lot of national championships.
Evgeny did a great job of ordering his statements. He started with the most general information and then gave more details in the following sentences. We recommend adding a little more information to the second sentence. I have been playing this wonderful game since 9. In general, we use numbers alone to describe times of the day, as in, I woke up at 5, or I've been here since 8. We generally add the past tense of the verb be to describe an age. So, Evgeny's sentence could be updated to something like this.
I have been playing this wonderful game since I was 9 years old.
Or,
I have been playing this wonderful game since I was 9.
Evgeny described his success in chess.
I have won many city and region tournaments and also took part in a lot of national championships.
We suggest using the term local instead of city and replacing region with regional. We also propose replacing the phrasal verb took part with a verb such as participated or competed. The updated sentence could be something like this.
I have won many local and regional tournaments, and I have also competed in national championships.
Toward the end of his message, Evgeny wrote,
I think chess can help children improve their focus and concentration skills.
We agree with Evgeny's statement. We also wish him the best of luck with his English studies and his future chess matches. If you would like to receive writing suggestions in a future report, send us a short description of your favorite book. Explain why you like the book and what it means to you. You can write us in the comments section or email us at learningenglish@voanews.com. I'm John Russell.
Woodrow Wilson, America's 28th president, established the National Park Service in 1916 to protect the wild and wonderful landscapes in the United States. But it is an earlier leader who is considered the father of America's national parks. In 1906, Theodore Roosevelt, America's 26th president, signed the American Antiquities Act. The law permitted him and future presidents to take immediate action to protect important cultural or natural resources. The Antiquities Act led to the creation of many of the 413 sites within the National Park Service today.
No president has played a bigger role in protecting the country's natural and cultural resources than Theodore Roosevelt. During his time in office, he established 5 new national parks and 18 national monuments. In all, he protected over 93 million hectares of public land. He became known as the conservationist president. Roosevelt's concern for the land and environment came from the time he spent in the Dakota Territory, beginning in the 1880s. The area where he traveled is now the state of North Dakota. Today, you will find a national park there named in his honor. The park protects badlands, wildlife, scenic views, as well as 2 ranches where Roosevelt himself once lived. Welcome to Theodore Roosevelt National Park.
Theodore Roosevelt came to Dakota Territory in September 1883. He was a young married man from New York, where his political career was just beginning. He came to Dakota in hopes of hunting huge animals called bison. He also had a great interest in the Western frontier lifestyle. Roosevelt soon developed an interest in raising cattle. Cattle ranching in Dakota was a big business in the 1880s. Cattle fed on the land's healthful grasses. He and a partner entered the business. Roosevelt invested $14,000 to build the Maltese Cross Ranch. Roosevelt returned to New York while workers constructed the ranch. He resumed his political duties in Albany, the state capital. But in early 1884, he experienced 2 great personal losses. His mother and wife died of illnesses on the same day, February 14th. Roosevelt described the pain and loss in his diary with only 1 sentence: "The light has gone out of my life."
Roosevelt again headed west in the summer of 1884. He sought to escape the reminders of his recent losses. He arrived at his newly built Maltese Cross Ranch. He also decided to build a second ranch in a quieter, more remote area. He called that ranch Elkhorn. Roosevelt traveled between New York and Dakota, working both as a state lawmaker and a cattle rancher. In late 1884, he helped form an organization in Dakota to help protect ranchers' rights. In 1885, Roosevelt published his first book about his experiences as a rancher and hunter. In it, he predicted that the cattle industry of the Dakota Badlands was not sustainable. In other words, it would not last. Roosevelt was right. Severe weather struck the area in 1886 and 1887. In the winter, a terrible freeze killed many cattle.
The animals that survived the cold soon starved. Roosevelt himself lost over half of his cattle. He decided to get out of the business. The experience, however, shaped Roosevelt's beliefs about the need for conservation in America. Those beliefs, in turn, helped shape his policies as president.
Visitors to Theodore Roosevelt National Park can experience the Badlands just as Roosevelt did hundreds of years ago. They can also visit the Maltese Cross Cabin, as well as the Elkhorn Ranch area. The park has three main areas: the South Unit, the North Unit, and the Elkhorn Ranch Unit. In the South Unit, visitors can drive along the Scenic Loop Road. It offers many places to see wildlife and the surrounding Badlands. Badlands are very dry places with little vegetation. Wind and water shape Badlands mainly through erosion. The process leaves behind high, flat-topped hills of clay and other soft rock. Many visitors stop to look at Painted Canyon. It gets its name from the colorful exposed rocks there. Trails near the canyon offer visitors a chance to see animals, from the huge American bison to small black-tailed prairie dogs. These animals are not really dogs, they are rodents. Roosevelt described prairie dogs as the most noisy and inquisitive animals imaginable.
The North Unit also offers several hiking trails. Some paths are short and easy. Others may take 2 days to complete. The Achenbach Trail is a 28-kilometer-long path. It crosses the Little Missouri River and takes visitors into the heart of the Theodore Roosevelt Wilderness. The third area of the park is the Elkhorn Ranch Unit. This is what Roosevelt described as his home ranch. He wrote of the ranch in this way: "My home ranch house stands on the river brink. From the low, long veranda, shaded by leafy cottonwoods, one looks across sandbars and shallows to a strip of meadowland, behind which rises a line of sheer cliffs and grassy plateaus."
Today, the Elkhorn Cabin itself no longer stands. Visitors will find only stone rocks where the cabin once was. The area that surrounds Elkhorn, however, is among the most beautiful, wild, and quiet places in the Badlands of North Dakota. It is this peace and beauty that appealed to Roosevelt after the deaths of his mother and wife. But the Dakota Badlands did more than just help Roosevelt overcome his pain. They helped shape the kind of president he would later become. In the words of Roosevelt himself, "I would not have been president had it not been for my experience in North Dakota." I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm John Russell.
That's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.